Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We're coming to the end of our study in Romans 8, Life in the Spirit. Next Sunday, we will have Chris Aldana speaking here in the English service. Chris is the candidate for our Spanish pastor. He's speaking the whole month with us in January, but on the 13th, he'll be here with us in the English, and he'll share God's word. So just want to encourage you to be a part of that, and as we continue to pray and see what God has for us. All right, so 2019, so what do we normally do at the beginning of the year? We purge everything, right? Our closets, our garage, our refrigerators. Have you ever looked in your refrigerator and found something shoved all the way in the back that when you open the container, you don't even recognize what it is? Something yucky and gooey and nasty and... You just cover it. Even though it's one of your nice Tupperware pot containers, you throw the whole thing out, right? Yeah, no? Yeah. Well, I'm glad some of you do a really good job of keeping yours clean, but I know we've been guilty of finding stuff in the freezer or the refrigerator that doesn't look quite right. But how many times do we do that, spiritually speaking? We tuck stuff away in our heart. We put something away in our mind, and when it surfaces, it's yucky and nasty and gooey, and kind of disheartening that we would even continue to possess that. And we forget about that stuff, and we just need to keep a current account, keep it current, and deal with it, and let God solve our heart issues and to point us in the right direction. We spoke last week on Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things, to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. He works all things. This is our God. He's capable and able of working all things out. Again, we talked about those master chess players. They can, in high competition, they can think three or four moves down the board, and sometimes as many as 10 moves. But think about it. How many moves ahead would you have to ordain so that all things work together for good to those who love God? And that those who love God are the ones who are called, who are children of God, who have confessed their sin and have surrendered themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. To all of His children, He has ordained all these things, and He's put this plan into action. And this just reminds us how humongous, how immense our God is, and how capable He is of working all things out together for good. For those of you who remember our Star Wars fanatics, I know they did it in the very first one that showed up, but when they were going to go into hyperdrive, into what do you call that? That light speed? They had to calculate, and they were calculating. That's why Han Solo said a couple different times. He said, we got to wait till it calculates so that we make sure that we don't crash or we don't whatever they're going to do. Now, I'm not too familiar with all that stuff. But think about that. You know, they're talking about flying cars. Think about how much has to go into figuring out flight paths. Because if they drive flying cars the way they drive on the streets, how many accidents are we going to have? You know, airplanes, there are flight patterns that they fly. The commercial airlines have flight patterns. There's flight paths that they take so that the planes are all on the same path when they're going to certain places and when they're coming from certain places. God has all this ordained. You know, my cousin was a flight air traffic controller. And the flight tower was responsible for all the planes 5 miles coming into the airport and 5 miles going out of the airport. And then there was another ground control, it wasn't a tower, but a control site that controlled the planes going past the airports. And he said, it's not that hard. It's like a video game, except with serious consequences. But having to place all these planes in the right order and to make sure that they don't get close, and I couldn't do it. And just thought that our God works all things together for good. All things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And some of us live on the ugly side a little too much, don't we? And sometimes the bad comes our way. And even when the good is here, we still struggle. But in all of that, our God and his love defends us. You know, we ask the question sometimes, how can God still love me? Why does he still love me? And what I find in Scripture, it's really simple. Because he does. That's who he is. And because he's God, he's able to. He does. He just loves us because that's who he is. You know, we're not God, and so we struggle with loving people, don't we? We put all these conditions on it. God's love is unconditional. Why? Because he's God. And he loves us because he does. Kind of simple, isn't it? Jesus is every believer's security. When struggles come, when the good is here, when the bad is here, when the ugly is here, I want us to see three things out of this passage this morning. We can actually seriously take 3 weeks on this passage, but I'm going to try to do it in, what is it, we have 25 minutes to do it. But I think the music has already, the words of the songs have already put us in that direction. Communion has already told us the great price that Christ paid, and he wants us to proclaim that. First thing, Jesus secures every resource you will need to live for his glory. He secures every resource necessary. Look at verse 31. What then shall we say? And Paul gives a series of questions. There's like 4 questions in this passage. What shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? And this is what he says. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, but how will he not also with him freely give us all things? How do I know God is for me? Because he sent Jesus. Because Jesus secured it. Because Jesus provided the resources you and I need to live for his glory, to live victoriously, to live delivered, to live free. Verse 33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But it is God who is the one who justifies. It doesn't matter who accuses us. Who is the one who condemns? Christ is the one who died. You've heard it, right? I mean, you see somebody that you haven't seen since high school. Man, I remember when you did this, and it usually wasn't a good thing, right? Right? We always kind of remember for the traviesos that we were, or the travesuras we were involved in, right? We were reminded of, people remember us for the worst, usually. Who is the one who condemns? Christ is the one who died. Yes, rather, who was raised up, who is at the right hand, who also what? He does what? He intercedes for us. Our God sees us accused, condemned by people, by others. And it's he who steps up and he defends us. But not only does he step in to defend us, he steps in to intercede for us. You know, in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, then he showed me, an angel of the Lord showed Zechariah, the prophet, he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to what? Accuse him. And you know what? The accusations that Satan brought against Zechariah were probably true. And the accusations that Satan makes on our behalf are probably true. Look with me to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation is the last book of the Bible. 12:10. Here's John writing, the Apostle John writing the words and the things he sees and hears in heaven. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren. Who is that? That's Satan. The accuser of the brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night. Yeah, so until that time comes, the accuser is up there saying, hey, look at Alfonso. Hey, look at James. Hey, look at Ted. Hey, look at Tony, man. Look at them. Can't you? How can you love them? Why would you love them? They're no good. They're not worthy. And you know what Jesus, what God would say? You're right, they're not worthy. But because I love them, they're forgiven. The Bible tells us that we have an advocate in heaven, a defense attorney. And it's Jesus Christ who steps in for you and I. These are the behind-the-scenes resources that you and I are not aware of all the time. They're not the things that pop into our heads when we have a problem or when we're struggling or when we fail or we fall into temptation or whatever it might come. But that we have been forgiven, we have a defense attorney, Jesus Christ, who defends us. He goes to court and he tells the Father, forgiven. And the Father says, forgiven. And then the other guy on the other table is saying, hey, no, hey, wait a minute. He's guilty. And Jesus says, I'm the one who justified them. I'm the one who died for them. Isn't that an amazing resource that you and I have every single minute of every single day that we live? That we are not only set free once, but that we have a continual interceder. And that's Jesus Christ. He intercedes for us. But he goes on to say, in verse 11, and they overcame him, they overcame the accuser of the brethren because of the blood of the Lamb. I'm forgiven because of Christ's death for us. And because of the word of their testimony, they did not love their life even when faced with death. Because of the word of their testimony, because of Christ in us, that now we can stand in obedience to him. So Jesus secures every resource you will need to live for his glory. Now again, you and I are not perfect, but you and I are forgiven. We have been justified. In Luke 22, Jesus tells Peter, who was at this time called Simon, he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. What is it to sift? That's to pound the wheat kernels and to take off that chaff. Kind of like you pop open a peanut, it has that brown thing there. You take that off. You easily take it off. But peanuts are pretty big. Wheat kernels are small, and so you have to sift them. You have to beat them to take that off. This is Jesus illustrated to Peter. Satan wants to take you to the woodshed. Oh, so you young people don't understand that one. He wants to beat on you. And you know what Jesus tells him? I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. God doesn't always protect us in that sense of struggles coming into our lives. But he provides us the resources in which to deal with them. That we might grow strong for them. But then he tells Peter, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Use the lessons of life. Use the power of testimony and the work that God is doing in your life to turn around and teach somebody else or to bring somebody else up with you. Amen? The second thing we see in, come back with me to Romans 8, please. In verse 35, not only does Jesus secure every resource you will need to live victoriously for him, but Jesus secures us in the midst of threatening circumstances. In the midst of threatening circumstances, Jesus secures us. Look at verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of God? Will tribulation could be difficult situations, or distress. This could be from being boxed in by continual temptation. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. Everywhere you turn, it's temptation, temptation, temptation. But even in that, God takes care of you. Or persecution, standing up for righteousness, for truth, for God's sake, for God's name. Famine, that could be as a result of persecution. We don't see that in this country like they saw it. Because when they turned away from their Judaism, when their beliefs, they were cut off from the family. A lot of them were fired from their jobs. And they didn't have Social Security or Medi-Cal or Medicare or General Relief or food banks. This is why the church stepped in. This is why the church provided for those resources, because they did not have. And so the danger and the damage that could come to a person's life because they were following Christ was famine. Or nakedness, which speaks of being vulnerable or unprotected. Or peril, exposed to danger. And we think our streets are bad in Pico Rivera or East LA. But times were difficult then too, perilous times. Or by the sword, which is murder. But you know what the thing here? Paul spoke from personal experience here. Paul spoke from experience that God would take care of him. That nothing would separate him from the love of God. But look at verse 36. Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. But in all these things, how many things? All these things. Just like God works all things together, all things, we overwhelmingly, how do we conquer? We don't just get by. We overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And it's because of his love that we overwhelmingly conquer. We don't just barely make it through. We don't have to just get through the gate at the last second. He's provided for us the opportunity. He secures us in the midst of threatening circumstances, friends. What is the worst thing for a Christian to happen to a Christian? And it's not death. It's not death. For a Christian, the worst thing is a mediocre life. A life lived in fear. Why? Because God gives us everything we need. And he secures us by his love. How many people today struggle with the lack of love, of demonstration of love? They fear they're gonna live out their life and nobody loves them. How many children in foster care have failed to find somebody who loves them? Not just in, oh, I love you guys, but in who are willing to pony up and put out. How many kids are out on the adoption list? You know, Lawrence and Stephanie have stepped up big time, taking care of three of their, I guess, cousins, nephews, nieces? I'm not sure exactly. Forget the relationship. But they're starting a brand new family over. Because they felt called to do this. You know, God says that he loves us. And we could take that to the bank. We can, because it is written in his word, this word is truth. That God secures us in the midst of threatening circumstances. It doesn't mean you will never get beat up. It doesn't mean you will never get hurt. It doesn't mean nobody will insult you or nobody will give you a hard time. But that in the midst, we have victory because we're trusting Jesus. And the victory is this, not to return evil with evil, but to return evil with good. Because we're doing Christ's business. Because didn't Christ return evil with good? When he's on the cross of Calvary, when he could have called down angels, when he could have called down fire, he calls down what? Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They put you on the cross for no reason. Forgive them. That's a supernatural act that only God can give. And that God pours out his love in our hearts so that we can forgive one another. And you know, maybe you're the one struggling with temptation. You're the one struggling with deliverance issues. Maybe you have somebody in your life that you need to help, that you need to bring them to the next level. You need to help them step up and to trust the promises of God. In John 13, he says, Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. But thanks, Paul says in First Corinthians, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The third thought I want to give you here in Romans 8 is that Jesus secures us by his love in every realm possible. In every realm possible. Follow with me. He says, for I am convinced, I am persuaded, I am encouraged, I stand true, I stand on the facts, is what he's saying here. I am convinced that neither death nor life, the physical realm, nor angels nor principalities, the spiritual realm, nor things present nor things to come, yesterday, today, or tomorrow, nor height nor depth, it doesn't matter where you are in life, beginning or end, or in the middle, or some of you might be in the fourth quarter of your life, nor any other created thing will be what? Will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing anybody can do against you or for you that will separate you from the commitment of God's love to you. And friends, that in itself should bring peace and security. That is a security that no one can provide for you but God. That even in the midst of what seems like threatening circumstances, nothing's going to separate us from that. Even in the midst of other difficulties in life, when accusations come, when judgments come, when condemnation comes, whether they're false accusations or true accusations, that our God's not going to let us go, and he's not going to kick us to the curb, and he's not going to say, Charlie, I don't know you anymore. He said, no, my God knows me. And in spite of him knowing me completely, he still loves me. That's the amazing part. Not that God can love. That's not the amazing part. But he knows even when the book closes, he knows. He knows me. And he still loves me. Paul tells Timothy this in 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason I suffer these things. Why? I'm able to put up with all this. I'm able to endure the trials. I'm able to face the difficulties. And he doesn't explain them here completely because Timothy knew the things, because Timothy was with Paul and he saw that and he heard that. But he says, for this reason I suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I know God. And I know what he's about, I know what he's capable of, and I can trust him to do what? That I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. It doesn't mean your house, it doesn't mean your car, it doesn't mean your jewelry, it doesn't mean your bank account. It means your soul, it means your spirit. It means that eternal part of you. I've entrusted myself to God and he will take care of me. That I am in the Father's hand where no one can pluck me out. Friends, we need this kind of security in our daily life. We need this kind of understanding and perspective, especially as we start the new year. Who knows how rocky our country is going to get or how rocky our circumstances are going to be. And as we get older, we're going to find more of our friends are no longer with us. And maybe health concerns and job concerns and retirement concerns. And you young people might be thinking, what's there going to be for us? Well, when you trust God, the world's the limit. But friends, let me tell you, it's not about accumulating stuff. It's not about having big bank accounts and nice cars and jewelry. Because guess what? When you die and they put you in the oven to cremate you, Doesn't matter what you're wearing. Armani burns just like Burlington suits. Quickly. If they even put you in a suit, I don't know what they do with you in cremation. I'm not going to even try to think that. But am I right? You walk into heaven with an Armani or with a, what's that other stuff? What's the brands that I buy, babe? It's not Armani. Whatever's on sale at Burlington. It's not a Men's Warehouse suit. Friends, let's deal with the real things in life. The things that are going to last into eternity. The relationship we have with our God and who secures us. The writer of Hebrews says, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The psalmist writes, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. He also says, for you alone, Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Where are you at as you start 2019? Is your life secure in Christ? Or do you feel your life is secure in your worldly advancement and your worldly stuff? Again, I am not against, and the Bible's not against, and God's not against us having that worldly stuff. But where is our trust and our faith in? You know, God told Israel, don't accumulate horses, don't accumulate chariots. You don't need that stuff to win the victories militarily. I will be your victory. And Israel continued to get themselves in trouble when they amassed horses and amassed chariots. That was for the pagans, for the enemy. You don't need those, is what God is saying. Friends, we don't need the material stuff to have victory. Because the things that God gives us, as that commercial says, priceless. Money can't buy them. Because God, in his grace, gives them to his children for us to operate from. Where are you at in 2019? Where are you trusting? Who are you trusting? And what are you trusting?
Donald Barnhouse was pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. Truly a man of God. And he wrote these words here in one of his sermons. Actually, he preached it and it was written. You do not have a problem too great for the power of Christ. You do not have a problem too complicated for the wisdom of Christ. You do not have a problem too small for the love of Christ. You do not have a sin too deep for the atoning blood of Christ. One of the most wonderful phrases ever spoken about Jesus, which is found on several occasions in the gospel, is that Jesus was moved with compassion. He loved men and women. He loves you. Do you have a problem? He can meet it. It does not matter what it is. The moment that problem comes to you in your life, he knows all about it. If there is fear in your heart, it is immediately sorrow in his heart. If there is grief in your heart, it is immediately a grief in his heart. If there is a bereavement in your life or any other emotion that comes to any child of God, the same sorrow, the same grief, the same bereavement is immediately written on the heart of Christ. We find written in the Word of God, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. And through it all, he secures us with his love. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 2. And this is a blessing I leave you with. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, our God, and God our Father, who has loved us and has given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Amen. God bless you all. May 2019 be that year for you, where you're secure in him and his love.